The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Menachot Dav Tzadi Vav. Today's Dav is being studied in the Neshmat of Ram Ben Esther. The Gemar Ben Moshe Ben Nun. Aruch Hashem Tenechem Ben Eden. Amen. Begin today's Dav on Tzadi Vav. Amud Rishon Mishnah. Habite Kohen Gadol. That's the Mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings every day. Mahatito Baboker. Mahatito Ba'erev. Half in the morning and half in the afternoon. Nishatan, the kneading of it. Zdo. Varichatan, the setting it up, shaping it. Vafiyatan, the baking it. Bifnim, it is all done inside the Azara. If you remember, we learned on yesterday's daf. We learned about the Lechem Apanim. We learned about the Shteh Lechem. Those were done outside. However, everybody agrees that the Minchat Habite Kohen Gadol was done everything inside Rashi. It's the reason why they had to do it inside. Because everybody agrees the vessel that they measured the Habite Kohen Gadol was called the Hatzi Etzaron, because he would bring a full Etzaron from his house. And then they would split it. Everybody agrees that keli was Kodesh. Not all the measures in the Beit HaMikdash did they sanctify. This measure was sanctified. Why wasn't all the measures sanctified? So that she tells us a very important reason. The reason why they didn't sanctify the regular measure called the Esaron, the Shekol Adam Moded Bo Minhato, because that's used by everybody. The pa'amim shemotzi'o lachutz. You can't trust the people. Person will measure with the esaron. It's kodesh. Then he brings it outside the azara. It's already. It's chutz. It's forbidden. Aval ze eno masur el lekohanim lachasod bo'asronim. But the half measure is only used by the kohanim. Kohanim gedolim. So we're not worried that they're gonna make a mistake. So that's one of the reasons why they didn't sanctify the other measures, but they measured the hasi esaron of the kohen gadol. That's what had to be done bifnim. Because once it's in the keli, it's kodesh. Therefore, you can't take it out. That's why you have to knead it inside the azara, and you have to bake it inside the azara. Now, once the Mishnah tells us this, the next halakha automatically follows. V'dochot et Shabbat. Therefore, they are doche Shabbat. Why don't you, meaning you could bake it on Shabbat. Why don't you tell me, do it all before Shabbat, bake it before Shabbat, do everything before Shabbat. You cannot do that, because once you're telling me that the keli is Kodesh, if you're going to do it before Shabbat, what's going to happen? Lina. Once Friday night comes, and Shabbat morning, it stayed overnight. You cannot make Shabbat's habitin on Friday. Because since the keli that we're discussing are Kodesh, so then you're going to have a problem of Lina. Techinatan. That's the grinding of the flour. Vehad kadatan. It's also a type of sifting and selecting. Eino duchet Shabbat. Of course, that you can do before Shabbat. The grinding of it and the selecting of the flour obviously can be done before Shabbat. Therefore, the rule is like this. Klal amar bi'akiva. Kol melacha she'efshar la'atzotah me'erib Shabbat eino duchet Shabbat. Any melacha that's able to be done before the Shabbat is not duchet Shabbat. ושאי אפשר לה לעשותה מערב שבת, דוחת השבת. If you cannot do it on ערב שבת, you do it on שבת, לשי. ושאי אפשר, אפייתן אי אפשר לעשות מאתמול. You cannot bake the habitin from yesterday. ולא לישה בעריכה דקבע דקדשה בכלי, once already you tell me it's sanctified in the כלי, מפסילה בלינה. Because פסול בלינה. But the grinding is nothing. The grinding doesn't go into כלי. Therefore you can grind it before שבת. Next point in the Mishnah, kol ha-menachot, yesh bahen ma'aseh keli bifnim, ve'en bahen ma'aseh keli bachutz. Okay, all the menachot, they have a ma'aseh keli. Number one day, you need a keli when you make the mincha, and they're done inside. Rashi, ma'aseh keli lisha, the kneading, the arika, and the preparing of them. Hakol bichli sharet bifnim velo bachutz. as opposed to again what we learned on yesterday's daf. The shtei alechem and the lechem apanim, those we had gezerat ketuv, they're done outside. But everything else, all the other minhagot are done inside. Now we discuss the shtei alechem that were brought on Shavuot. How big were these loaves? Shtei alechem orkan shiv'a tefachim, the ruchban dalid tefachim, 7 by 4. 7 tefachim long, 4 tefachim wide. Ve'karnotav arba etzba'ot. And their points. What do you mean their points? Rashi, the corners, the points. Ve'karnoteha, shayam badbik batzek lechol zavik ke'en karnayim. Ve'orech ha'keren dalid etzba'ot. They would add a piece of dough to the ends of the lechem, so it looked like it had horns. So that addendum of dough that they would add to the lechem apanim, that was 4 etzba'ot. Okay. Now we discuss the lechem apanim. How big was the lechem apanim? So again, the lechem, shtei lechem was 7 by 4 by 4. Lechem apanim, urkan yud tefachim, 10 tefachim, v'ruchbam tefachim, 5 wide, v'karnotav 7 etzba'ot. And again, that piece, the corners, the horns, were 7. So it's 10, 5, 7. How are you going to remember? Rabbi Yehuda omer, shelo tetaye. So you don't make a mistake. The way you're going to remember this is, zedad yehaz. Okay? Zedad is the shtei alechem. 7, 4, 4. Zedad. And lechem apanim is yehaz. 10, 5, 7. It's an easy way to remember. As she says, shelot tetaeh ben shtei alechem lelechem apanim ben bishur rocha ben bishur orech וקרנות, זדד יהז, זדד שתי הלחם אורכה זי ורחבה דו וקרנותי הדלת, יהז, דחם הפרים אורכו ידו רחבו היו וקרנותי הבדיים. אוקיי. בן זומא אומר, בן זומא says, ונתת על השולחן לחם הפנים לפני תמיד. And you will place the לחם הפנים on the table. לחם פנים, שיהיו לו פנים. Should have panim. What is it, panim? Rashi. Defanot. That it will have walls. According to the opinion that said that the mold was a flat mold, like we learned, like a box. So we're going to see that the way they would arrange it on the table, in order that it should fit, the lechem apanim was 10 long. But the way they're going to fit it on the table is, they're going to put the lechem apanim, the length they're going to put to the width of the table. The width of the table is going to be 5 tefachim. How are you going to put 10 long on a width of 5? Unless you fold up the corners. So they would fold up the corners, let's say 2.5 tefachim. 2.5 on this side, 2.5 on that side. Now the you've turned the length, you've chopped it down to 5. So that would fit exactly according to the width. So that's what it means, lechem panim. Shayu lehem panim. They had panim, they had walls on the side rails. Like you see in the picture of the lechem panim, as you see then, a very intricate type of matzah that we never saw before. It's like a box and it has 2 walls on the side. And we'll see all this other things that where they came from. Orko yud. I'm sorry, Hashulchan. The table. What is the size of the table in the Beit HaMikdash? Orko yud. Veruchbo hamisha. Okay, the table is 10 by 5. Rashi. How do you know that? It's Befirush Pasuk in the Torah, that's how. Orko yud veruchbo he kedichtiv amatayim vachetzi. Kedichtiv amatayim orko ve'amar ruchbo. It's 2 by 1. Each amma is 5 tefachim. So 2 amot by 1 amma is 10 by 5. אורכו של לחם כנגד רוחבו של שולחן. The length of the bread goes against the width of the table. And that's the trick. You have to fit 10 in a space of 5. How do you do that? You fold up the sides. They fold it to make it. Again, it was one flat piece. By folding the sides, now you have walls on the sides. Well, that was the mold. Well, that's exactly what happens. By putting in such a mold, that's why they put it in such a mold. The mold that would shape it would automatically bend the sides. After they bake it, they put it in the mold, which will bend the sides for that purpose. It says, Lechem HaPanim Urko Yud V'Rochbo He. The Lechem HaPanim is also 10 by 5. So it's the same, exactly the size of the table. The table is 10 by 5, and the Lechem HaPanim is 10 by 5. Noten Orko Keneged Rochbo Shel Shulchan. You put the length of the bread Keneged Rochbo Shel Shulchan. The length of the bread Keneged the width of the table. How do you do that? Vekofel tefahayim umechsa mikan, utfahayim umechsa mikan. And you fold 2.5 on the right side, 2.5 on the left side, so that's 5 tefahayim, giving you now 5 tefahayim of bread. Nimsa orko memale rochbo shel shulchan, devrer biyuda. It comes out that the orech now of the bread is going to fill the rochav of the shulchan. Very good. Rabbi Meir has a different understanding. How would they do that?
Why
would they do that? Rashi, tefahayim vekofel alechem, tefahayim umechsa lema'ala mikan umikan ubehen, hen akaranot v'msu zikufot b'shave l'sfat ha'shulchan. Okay, so we're exactly fit. Now, we are only discussing the opinion that said it was made like a box. But if you remember, we had another opinion that said it was made like a boat, which was a very, like an acorn, it looked like a boat, like a narrow, came to a point on the bottom. You don't have a picture of that, but we have some pictures over here for you. So then she says, Ulman de amal kimin sifira rukid vuhanak defanot olchot vezukfot v'shipua. Which means it's not going to fill the whole table. Which means it's not going to fit the whole space of the table because it's not a square. But the way it was shaped was, it would go out. It would the walls would jut out like a semicircle. So therefore, it would hit the end of the width of the table, but it would be on the corners would be open because it's not a full square. What did she say? And there's another opinion that says that the amot in the Torah was 6 tefachim amot. So if you hold that the amot in the Torah is 6 tefachim amot, so it's 2 by 1, that's the measure of the shulchan, so that'll be 12 by 6. Oh, if it's 12 by 6, so now we have a challenge, how are we going to fit a 10 loaf in a 6 space. Okay? Because if you're going to fold it up like this, 2.5, 2.5, so then you're going to have 5. 5 is not going to fill up the whole width of 6. So you're going to have a different system in how to do that. So what I say is, Mishnah. This is all the Mishnah, by the way. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ashulchan Orko Yab Veruchbo Vav Lechem Panim Orko Yud Veruchbo He. Lechem HaPanim, everybody agrees, is 10 by 5. Noten orko keneged rochbo shel shulchan. So that's 10, you're putting in a width of 6. How? Easy. Kofer tefahayim mikan, utfahayim mikan, utfahayim revach beemsa, kedeh shetehe haruach menashevet bahem. So you have 10. You fold it up on one side, 2 tefachim, and you fold it on the other side, 2 tefachim. So now how much do you have?
6.
Now you have 6. Okay, so you put 6, 6 is perfect.
Only 5 long.
But it's only 5 long. Okay, now you have the table is 10 long. Or 12 long. 12 long. So you put two loaves in the length area, which would be 5 and 5, with two tefahim in between the loaves, in order to let the air get in there, so the air can breathe, so it doesn't spoil. He holds, if the bread is flush against each other, so it's hot, so it's going to cause spoilage. So therefore, the width of the bread goes against the length of the table. So this is 5, and this is 5. This is 12. So what do you do with the extra 2? You have 2 tefahin in the middle over here. And this exactly would fit over here against the width, because they would fold it up on both sides, 2 tefahin and 2 tefahin. See, and they're having 6 perfect. And then you have 2 going across the length of it, 5 and 5, with 2 space in the middle. That could to be mir. Abba Shaul Omer. Okay, now a new point. And in this gap, according to Rabbi Meir, that's where they put the bazichim. They put the 2 spoons with the frankincense. Remember, in that space on the table. Amru, no, they told him, no, it can't be. V'hare kevan ne'emar v'natata al ma'arechet lebona zaka. Al, it's got to be on top, it sounds like. They put it on top of the loaves. Not on the table. Al. Amar lahem, hare kevan ne'emar ve'alav matei menashe. Alav doesn't mean on. When they were talking about the configuration of the Jewish people in the Midbar, it says, ve'alav matei menashe. Means on top of the matei menashe. Of course not. Means next to them. So therefore the word alav ma'arechet means next to the ma'arechet. So it means in the middle, next to the ma'arechet. Raise. Okay, now we get to the next point. We didn't want the loaves to break, because they're just on a table now, and they have walls, let's say, according to our opinion. So you wanted to put support on the sides of the table in order to keep the lechem panim from coming apart. So they put, like, guardrails around the shulchan. Those were called sinipin. The snipin had holes in them where they're going to put rods in the snipin to make like shelves to separate between the loaves themselves. Okay? So the Mishnah is going to say, V'arba'a snipin shezahab ayusham mefusalim merashehem shehayu sumchim bahem shnayim lesedr zeh ushnayim lesedr zeh. Let's say this is the lechem panim, these 2 items over here, the 6 and 6, right? So you would have on the floor, off the floor, you'd have guardrails, okay? This really looks like this because they have a table, so this is elevated. So this would be on the floor, and the top part of the sinipim would come against the lechem panim. The bottom is on the floor, not doing anything. It's being supported. The top of the snipim are flush against the wall of the shulchan, which has the bread. And over here, on top of the snipim, it says, V'rashehem mefutzalim. There were holes coming out of this, where they would put the rods, the slots, to put the rods, where they would stick the lechem panim. The reason they put these slots, the Gemara is going to tell us, Mishnah will tell us, to make a little air space between the lechamim, So they don't spoil. That's why it says Verashehem Mefutzalim, because the bottom that was on the floor did not have to have holes in them, because it's not coming against the Shulchan, the Lechem itself. Continue. Vechafchet Kanim Kahatsi Kane Halul. Okay, and there were 28 of these rods, like a hollow tube. Good. 14 rods on this side and 14 rods on that side in order to place the lechamim inside. Rashi, I'm going to explain the configuration of these 28 kanim over here. But just note it was 14 on this side, 14 on that side. Because how many per loaf? Because it's odd. No, it's a wrong number. You have 6 loaves, and you have 14. So how'd they break it up? That's the Gemara's job. Lo sidur kanim velo netilatam duhayta shabbat. Oh, setting up these rods, because these were removable. Setting up the rods on Shabbat, no good. Because like boneh. And taking them apart on Shabbat, then you had to take off the loaves. Also, it's not Duhay Shabbat, it's like Soter. So then what did you do? So it says, Ela nechnas me'ereb Shabbat, shumto, you take the rods out. You pull the rods out. V'notno le'orkan shel shulhan. You place them on the floor to the length of the shulhan. We have a general rule. All the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash are always placed east-west to the length of the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash length goes east-west. So whenever you put kelim, even the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, the shulhan, for example, the shulhan, east-west, it's called to the length. The menorah is positioned to the length of the Beit HaMikdash. So when you take these items out, the Mishnah is telling you, you put them on the floor, you put them in direction east-west to the length of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, on Shabbat, you have to put the new loaves on. So you put the new loaves on without these shelves. And then Motzei Shabbat, you stick in the shelves in between the Lechamim. Because you cannot put it together, you cannot assemble it on Shabbat. On the, you stack it. There's no rods. The rods you took off at Me'arif Shabbat. You took the rods off Me'arif Shabbat because you cannot take it off on Shabbat. And you cannot put them back either on Shabbat. So all this was done on Shabbat. Rashi. Read Rashi. Lo sidur hakanim b'ma'arechet hachadasha ve'lo netilatam me'al ha'ishana duhay Shabbat. Not putting the new ones on, not taking the old ones off. Shumtam mibin kol lechem ve'lechem. You pull them out in between the loaves. U'mani'am le'orkan shel shulchan ul'mahar מסדר הלחם ומוצא שבת נותן הקנים בכל לחם ולחם כמשפטם. That's the rule. כל הכלים שהיו במקדש, the final line of the Mishnah, אורכן לאורכו של בית. Like I explained to you, all the vessels in the Beit HaMikdash are positioned to the length of the Beit HaMikdash east-west. נשי, כל הכלים כגון שולחנות אורכן לאורכו של בית ממזרח למערב. That's why the Mishnah says, when you take off the rods, you put them on the floor, you put them in the land of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, Gemara. That's a long Mishnah. Futsalim means that there's holes.
What is it? There's 2 holes.
No, not 2 holes at all. You have 14 holes. To put the rods in there. There's slots. Holes in the piss, in the, what do they call those? Siripim. To put the karim. Exactly. Yeah, you can see a picture of that just to get a better understanding. There you go. Very, very perfect picture. This is the shulchan. These 2 items are the sinipim on both sides, and there's holes. And they put two on this side, 2 on that side. So altogether 4. Mm-hmm. No. It's two sinipim. Fine. Okay, Gemara. כל המנחות יש בהם מעשה כלי בפנים. סתם. All the מנחות, first of all, you need a כלי, to make it in a כלי, and it's done inside the עזרה. How do you know that? גמרא. שאלו את רבי, זו מניין. אמר להם, הרי הוא אומר, and I found a פסוק, it's in יחזקאל. ויאמר אליי, זה המקום אשר יבשלו שם הכהנים. That's about the korbanot. יבשלו. That's the spot inside the azara. That's where you're gonna cook the meat of the korban. You could read that, by the way. It's read et ha'asham v'et ha'hatat. That's the pasuk. That's the korbanot. Asher yufu et ha'mincha. And that's where you're gonna bake the mincha. Lebilti otzi. Without taking it outside, tarasir. So it says, "Mincha dumiyada asham v'hatat, ma asham v'hatat te'unim keli." That's for sure. You can't cook it without a keli. So the Hatat Nashem for sure needed a keli because it's Yibashelu, how you can make Bishul. So just like that, needs a keli, and the Torah writes Mincha next to the Hatat and the Asham. Haf Mincha Name Teuna Keli. So too, it needs a keli. Look at the top line of Rashi. Ma Hatat Nashem, first white line, Teuna Keli. Dichtiv Asher Yibashelu. Ve'en Bishul Belo Keli. Ubifni Mishtai Keram. We know what's about inside. Because it says the b'tiut the haitzona, so you cannot take it outside. Next point, hashulkan orko asara. The table was 10 long. Okay, now we get into the subject. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, the devre haomet tefahayim umechsa kofel nemsa shulchan mekadesh hamisha asar tefahim lema'ala. לדברי האומר תפחיים כופל נמצא שולחן מקדש יוד בית תפחיים למעלה. Okay, very easy. Only the bottom loaves touch the table. Now they're stacked high. So you have to tell me, Hadush, that the table is mekadesh, not only what's directly on it, but the airspace above it. How much airspace of lechem is going to be stacked up? Well, it depends how high your walls are. According to one opinion, we said the walls were 2.5 tefachim. Am I? You following what I'm saying? The walls were 2.5 tefachim. So you have 2.5 times 6. 2.5 times 6 is how much? 15. So therefore, you have 15 tefachim high. So the table is mekadesh airspace up to 15 tefachim. And according to the opinion that said that it was 2 tefahim, the walls, so therefore, 12, the Gemara is saying that the Shulchan we learn from here is Mekadesh, not only was directly on it, but up the airspace as well, 15 tefahim according to that opinion, and 12 tefahim according to that opinion. Now the Gemara is going to start to get technical and ask, it's really not 15 tefahim or 12 tefahim, because we learned there's rods. So the rods obviously take up a little space in between each loaf. So it's 15 and change. And the Gemara is going to get to all these technical details now that it's not 15. The Gemara asks your question. Vaika kanim. What about the kanim? The rods? Rather, the purpose of the rods was to separate between each loaf. Now the Gemara says a big hadush, which changes the whole configuration of how the bread looked in our minds. Kanim shikuim shakalihu. The rods didn't take up any space, technically, or too much space, I should say. And they went in the loaves. That's why you look at the picture, the loaves themselves had like a hole in them. So they would stick the rods in the lechem, not under it. They would stick it in. So therefore, it's not taking up any space. The lechem is the same size. They made a hole in the bread, exactly. And they stuck the rods in the hole. So then what was the purpose then? If it was, the purpose was to separate between the lechemim, it's not separated. You're just sticking rods in the bread. What was that doing? So the Gemara asks, "My tama mishu me'ipush lechem." What's the reason why you put the rods? In order to stop the ipush. The ipush is stop them from getting moldy. Sof, come ma'apish lechem. Bottom line, but doing this way is ma'apish. We always understood they're underneath them. So you have trays like, you know, separating between them. But next time it's in the lechemim itself,
all the breads touch.
So all the breads are touching each other. But I said, the magbal lepurta. No, you have to say that you put the rods inside, but they did it in a way where it lifted the bread a drop. So therefore, there was a little airspace between each of the lechemim. It lifted it. That's not stuck it inside. This stuck it inside. But a little lift. Oh, so if that's what they did, it's more than 15. It's 15 plus all the little air spaces between the lechemim. So it was vayika upurta. You have that little space. And it says, kivan delo avitefah lo hashivle. If you add up all the air spaces between the lechemim, it's just a tefah. So insignificant. So therefore, when we say 15, it's 15. We're not going to go into 15.3. We said 15. It's not significant to count. Beka pesichim, Oh, you have the bazichin. You know, on top of the lehamim, quite that opinion says we put it on top of the lehamim, you have bazichin. So that adds a little height. Begavayu de lechem avu yatbe. Ulbaha de lechem avu kaime. Good. You put it in the loaves. So therefore, the tikkabani spice. On the top loaf, again, it's a wall and has a toch. So you would stick the bazichim in the lechem. So it's factored in already. They're not adding any space. The lechem already was factored in on top. Good? Okay, now get into this here. Ve'ika kiranot. Oh, what about the kiranot? Shibultin. Yeah, these kiranot. Now the best way to look at it is, I don't know if you have it in your pictures, in your books here. These kiranot, remember I said, they took a little extra piece of dough, we learned in the Mishnah, the seven etzbaot, to be exact, and they connected it on the ends. So instead of it just being, you know, hollow, what do you call it, straight through, open on both sides, at the end of it they put like a door. They put a kid in here of dough, and a kid in here of dough. It looked, this is how it looked in the end. Okay? Like horns at the end of it. Okay? A little piece of dough over there. So the Gemara is assuming that the kiranot came up. Oh, so the kiranot came up like horns. So that took seven etzbaot up and seven etzbaot up and times each loaf. So you're talking about significant shirud? 45 etzbaot. Okay, so that's more than a tefah. So what should have been tallied on the count? Good, easy. The kiranot were enough. The kiranot were placed in the lechemim itself. Like you see in the picture over here. They were going down. We thought the kiranot was on, the kiranot were going up. No, the kiranot were placed, and then they lowered them, flush. It was flush with the bread, and they put the breads on top of it. So they didn't take up any space. Okay, well, it continues. Va'ika misgarto. Now we get into a very important point now. Okay, let's go. Here's the table. Here's the table, okay? Now, on the table, you had also on top of it what's called a misgeret. A misgeret was another frame. But the frame, let's say, went on top. So technically, the misgeret was a tefach, by the way. Better if you give me two symbols. Give me that hook. If you tell me like this, that you had this is the shulchan, the bottom, and the misgeret is on top, so now, but it's hollow. Make believe this is hollow. But the point is you have a misgeret here. And you're placing it on top of this misgeret. So therefore, technically, you're off the table another tefah. You're starting to put the lechem on here. So you went 15 tefahim up. How many from the top lechem to the table, how much tefahim you have? 16. So why didn't you tell me that the table is mekadesh 16 tefahim high? You didn't factor in the misgeret, the frame. Yes, that'd be my last question. So the Gemara says, "Kevad de'amar misgarto lematayta." Okay, the misgeret was here. So the table was here. The misgeret was underneath. So therefore, no problem. You're putting the lechem on the table itself. Ulman.
This book shows both you talk about the picture book.
Va'ika misgarto kevad de'amar misgarto lematayta. Ulman de'amar misgarto lemalayta. Parkude hava. Mefarkeda velechem begaved shulchan havayativ. And even according to the opinion that says that the mezgeret was on top, it means like this. This was the lechem, this was the shulchan. The mezgeret was a frame around the table. Not on top of the table. It went around it like walls. So it's higher than the table, but they would put it mamash on the table itself. So therefore, even according to that opinion that says the mezgeret was, that's mamash a mezgeret, that's a frame. It wasn't just a slab, another slab on top. We thought it was just a frame, a slab on top, and you're putting it on the mezgeret itself. No, they put pieces on the side to make a frame around the table. So basically, you know what? The table had like a bit kibul came out. The table now had a receptacle because you had walls coming up the side of the table. So they've according to that opinion, you didn't put the lihama panim on the frame. You put it in between on the table itself. So they were even, but technically the frame was higher than the table. That's what it meant. When it said miskarto lemala, we thought miskarto lemala means mamash, they stuck it on top. There was a slab on top. And that slab, they placed the lechem panim. Oh, so it's more than 15. No, lemala, we mean that it protruded, exactly. Like a frame. Like a guardrails that came up on the side of it. It was higher than the shrine itself, but they put it on the table itself. And the Gemara compares that. It says, perukdeh hava mefarkeda. What do those words mean? Perukdeh hava mefarkeda. It's like a person that's sitting or leaning backwards. Which means, it's not flush on the table itself. It's like somebody that's reclining. It's like off the sides. It's off the sides of the table. Yes?
How thick was the sides? Because then they put the sinifim there.
Oh, according to that opinion, there was no sinifim. That was the sinifim. I was going to say that. You didn't need sinifim. That was already the sinifim. That already was the guardrails. You didn't have to put sinifim. Good point. That's the next line of the Gemara. Kedetanya. Like it says in the Braita, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Lo Haya Sham Sinifim. Ela Miskato Shushan Ma'amidat the Lechem. The Miskeret would hold the Lechem. Amru Lo. He told him, Miskato Lematayta. I told him, no. The Miskeret was underneath. Like the other opinion. If he said the Miskeret was underneath, so then we needed the guardrail. So you see that opinion definitely existed. Okay, now we get into another discussion, which is an important discussion, regarding the status of the Shulchan being Mikabel Tum'ah. What's the discussion? The table does not have a Bet Kibul. If you just tell me that it's a slab of wood, which is the Shulchan itself, and you tell me that you have another slab of wood on top of it that makes it a mezgeret, so basically it's just two pieces of wood on top of each other, flush on top of each other, so there's really no bet kibul over here. It's not a receptacle, it's just a flat piece of wood that's holding on it bread. Normally, for something to become tameh or mekabel tumah, it needs to have a bet kibul. Understand that? Means if you want to tell me that the table was made in such a way that the shulchan was on top, and you have the Gemara is going to tell you. Gemara is going to tell you two sides. Gemara says like this: Lidavreham and Amar Bihanam. According to the opinion that said, Misgarto lemata, the miskeret was underneath, haita tabla, lemata haita kama, that was on the bottom, tabla metapechet teme'a. So you see over here, a table that can be flipped over is going to be teme'a, which is according to the opinion that says you had the lemata. That means you had the table on top. Following me? You have the table on top, and you have the mezgeret, two holes. And you have the mezgeret on the bottom. It's the same size. So basically, there's no bet kibul here. This is the mezgeret, the bottom tefa. This is the flat table. So basically, this is a tabla metapech. You could use it this way, as like you could use it this way. Either way, it's the same flat. There's no bet kibul there. So we learn a hadush that according to that opinion, a wood vessel that's mitapechet, that can be used either way, is becoming a tumah, even though there is no bet kibul. That is a big hadush. Rashi, tabla hamitapechet, שיכולים להשתמש בסדזו כמו בסדזו, שחלקה היא משתי סדדיה. תמאה, כשולחן של מקדש היה מקבל תומה. הרמין עולה שולחן עבדה בית המקדש מקבל תומה, ובאמת פסוק פרט. כדי מפרש לכמן. ואין טבלה זו כשאר פשוטי כלי עץ. This keli is not like a regular wooden vessel. לרחבה היא בית קיבולה, כל פשוט כלי עץ, אומרים למדרס מקבל תומה, כדוש בית ג'אב ובחורו, כמובן כלי עץ מקבל תומה, because that's a bar kibule. It has a bet kibul. Here the table is not bet kibul. It's got a mezgeret, and on top of the mezgeret you put a slab, and the slab goes flush on top of the mezgeret, so there's nothing, no space over here. It's flat, and you tell me the table is mekabel tuma. Ella, we see from here that a table can be the tapeket either way. No bet kibul, just a slab of wood is mekabel tuma. Continue. You know what your question is going to be? The Devrei Omer Miskarto Lema'ala Haita. But according to the second opinion that said Miskarto Lema'ala. Now let's go slow. Miskarto Lema'ala means like this. The table is here. You following me? This is the slab. This is the table. Miskarto Lema'ala means you had the Miskarto on top. But this was hollow. The mezgeret came on top, but there was a hollow space in between. So therefore, you have no ra'aya to a slab of wood that's metapech is mekabel tuma. Because this has a bet kibul technically, because there's a hollow space in between here. You put the mezgeret on top, and then the table's there. So according to that opinion, you're going to need to bring a ra'aya. Tabla metapech is mekabel tuma onak. So gemara. לדברי העומר מסקרתו למעלה הייתה טבלה מטפכת טבעי לך. Good, then you don't have an idea. But the Gemara says, according to everybody, מכלל דשולחן בר קיבולי תומאהו. That's for sure. Gemara asks, how can we מקבל תומא? כלי עץ עשוי לנחתו. New point. A כלי עץ is only מקבל תומא if it's mobile. וכל כלי עץ עשוי לנחת, but if it's made to be stationary, לנחת is to rest, אין מקבל תומעה. Why is that so? דומיה מיתמה, דומיה דסק בעינן. Because in the pasuk that talks about תומעה, it says, or it's, or this, or that, or sack. Sack is sackcloth. So the Gemara says, מה sack מטלטל מלא ורקן? It's like a sack. It's movable. You can move it when it's empty, you can move it when it's full. אף כל מטלטל מלא ורקן. So too, any vessel that can be moved when it's full or when it's empty, מה שאיך לצאי, a heavy keli or something like that, you cannot move it, so that it would not be מקבל תומה. This table, it's like it's heavy. You know why? Because you never moved it. The שולחן stayed in its place. So it's כלי עץ העשוי לנחת. So what are you telling me? תומה, it's not תומה, such a thing. Gemara says Shulchan Namim Metaltel Male Virekan. Guess what? They moved the table when it was empty. It's easy to move the table when it's empty. But even when it was bread on it, they moved it also. It was Male and they moved it. When they ever moved the table when it was Male. Kedah Rish Lakish. Damar Rish Lakish. My dichtiv Allah Shulchan Tahor. Go to Shulchan Tahor. Mechlal Ika Tameh. Could it become Tameh? הגיש את המשוחן טהור, מכנס תמה, אלא מלמד שמגביעין אותו לעולה רגלים ומראים בו לחם, ואומרים להם, ראו חיבתכם לפני המקום. The regalim, they used to move the table to show the lechem panim to the pilgrims. They would lift the table up, and they would say, "Oh, Himbatchem, if they have makom, Rabotai, look how much Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you." And the Ritva says they would see the smoke coming off the Lechem HaPanim, and they would see the miracle. Kedivrei Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, Damar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, Nes Gadol Nasa b'deichayim apanim siluko kesiduro. That when they took it off, it was just as hot as when they put it on. Chine emar nasum lechem ham biyom hilakecho. The way they're learning this pasuk is to put bread on the table that will remain hot until you take it off. So you see, that was a miracle. So therefore, the Gemara is saying they did move it. Although they moved it sporadically 3 times a year, that already makes it a clear hetz. That's not asui le'nachat. It's asui le'taltel malev v'rekam, and therefore no problem to mekabel tu kashi. Biyom elakecho havichom. Very simple. Side point. That's where we're going to go until today. But now we have a side. Why would they show the Ole de Galim this miracle? Chaura, in the Beit HaMikdash, there were 10 daily miracles that all the Ole de Galim witnessed. What did they need to see the 11th miracle of the Lechem HaPanim? It's not like they didn't see things to be inspired by. What was the reason that the Kohanim had to go out of their way to do something like this? Lift up a table, shalom lechem apanim, now the table's become bel tuma. The explanation is because this was a musar. Most people, when they come up to Yerushalayim for the Hagim, they got elevated. They saw the Kohanim ba'avodatam, and the Levim b'duchanam, Yisrael b'ma'amadam. It was a very, very elevating experience. Like most people when they go to Yerushalayim, even till today, Be'horban Beit HaMikdash, it's exhilarating. Could you imagine when the Beit HaMikdash was Kayam? We get excited just by going to the wall. It brings us up. Could you imagine when you have the Beit HaMikdash in its glory? But what happens inevitably? If the person leaves Yerushalayim on a high, and you go back into the galut, and the excitement wears off, and the high settles, and all of a sudden you're back to, or as we would say, you cooled off. And therefore, right before they would go back to the galut, the Kohanim would lift the Lechem HaPanim, and they would say, look, Rabotai, 7 days later, and it's still hot, and therefore they were giving them Musar. And now you're leaving with a great aliyah. Learn the musar from the Lechem HaPanim. You just stay hot. Don't let the experience cool off that fast. Try to maintain the moment. Oh, so that was already musar. That wasn't stam for them to see a miracle. There was a message behind this miracle that the Kohanim were trying to convey to the Ole de Galim. So that's why, even at the expense of bitameing the Shulchan, and even at the expense now of lifting the table, which was unconventional, for that Musar, it was worth it. Amen. Amen.